Cast, a weekly conversation with our foreign correspondents. I'm Doug Shoresman, the Foreign Desk Weekend Editor. The new Israeli government is moving ahead with a $100 million redevelopment plan for Jerusalem that will improve park space around the city's holy sites, Jewish, Christian, and Muslim. That may seem to be a no-brainer, but as with so many other issues in the Holy Land, it's not that simple. Along with the plan, there may also be an increase in the number of Jewish residences in contested East Jerusalem, and its critics insist that it will steadily and profoundly weaken any possibility of a two-state border solution that Palestinians could agree to. Put that together with a new conservative national government that is calling into question all the old negotiating lines with the Palestinians, and you have a redevelopment plan that could make the old roadmap to Middle East peace completely unrecognizable. The Times Jerusalem Bureau Chief, Ethan Brauner, joins me by phone today to explain what's going on. Ethan, explain some of the details of this redevelopment plan and where it's become divisive.
Doug, this is a plan that actually was originally approved by the government of Ariel Sharon when he was prime minister in 2005. And the first sentence of the plan says that its aim is to strengthen the status of Jerusalem as Israel's capital. Now, obviously, the part of Jerusalem where all the holy sites are was won by Israel in the 1967 Middle East War. It was held by Jordan before. And Israel actually annexed it, unlike its relationship with Gaza and the West Bank, which in which it simply administers or occupies it, depending on your perspective. So, but its annexation was not recognized around the world. And it has consistently said that it wants to keep Jerusalem unified as the capital of Israel, and that it will, unlike it says what Jordan did, consistently allow people of all religions access to their religious sites and shrines. This is a complicated problem because I think in many ways Israel does administer that way, but of course the political conflict with the Palestinians has meant that many Palestinians cannot get to the shrines in Jerusalem. Increasingly, they can't get to them because of Israel's security restrictions on those coming in, and then Muslims from other Arab countries, it's not so easy either. So while in theory there is a freedom of religion in Jerusalem under Israel, in practice there's less of it. Now, at the same time, when Jordan controlled East Jerusalem, there was a fair amount of abuse of the Jewish quarter and the Jewish shrines in the old city, so that there were a whole bunch, people say about 50 synagogues that had been trashed or destroyed. There were Jewish grave sites that were also abused. There were actually some were used as paving stones and roads. And certainly Israelis couldn't get to the Western Wall, and it was difficult generally for Jews and Jewish leaders to. So there is a sort of view that in Israel that nobody cared, nobody complained in those days, and you know, now Israel is in charge and it's going to do what it considers necessary to protect its own interests and still open the place up for the world.
Some of the heat seems to be coming from the actual groups that are doing the redeveloping. Could you explain that?
Yes. One of the things that has happened is that in the beginning in the 1990s, a group that called itself El-Ad began to move into houses in a section of the Holy Basin and section of East Jerusalem called Silwan, which is really was a village, a Palestinian village. The beginning moving in was not always so clean. Since then, they have raised a lot of money, much of it in the United States, and started to buy up Palestinian properties. So at the same time that they started to move in, there are now about 500 Jews living there as the result of the work of this group, El-Ad, which also goes by the name Ir David, or the City of David. These guys have also taken on a lot of the archaeology and the planning and have driven the agenda for this Holy Basin development. And that has been one of the things that many people have complained about, that because they have a very right-wing Zionist agenda, which involves settlement and includes a focus especially on Jewish history in Jerusalem, that they're not the right people to be doing it. On the other hand, others say that they have done a relatively professional job, and there's no question that if you visit the City of David today, the Mount of Olives today, that whole area, the work that has been done to clean it up and beautify it is very impressive.
It all does seem to come back to settlement. Under Ehud Olmert, it seemed the Israelis were agreeing to limit aggressive settlement of some contested areas. Does this mean it's all being undone?
You know, Olmert was the mayor of Jerusalem when much of this was happening, before he became prime minister, and he was pretty aggressive in his willingness to promote Jewish settlement in East Jerusalem when he was mayor. Once he became prime minister, and especially toward the end of his term, he became increasingly persuaded that the only way forward for Israel was a two-state solution and that sharing Jerusalem in some way would have to be part of that. The government that was elected in recent months, headed by Benjamin Netanyahu, does not see it that way. It has a pretty hard-line view of Jerusalem, as does the new mayor of Jerusalem, newish, elected about 4 or 5 months ago. And all of them say that going ahead with the development of the Holy Basin, going ahead with Jewish settlement in East Jerusalem, are central to their plans for the future. So it does seem that if, in fact, the Obama administration and the European Union and others hope to promote a two-state solution in which Jerusalem is shared, this government plan and this municipality and this government will stand in their way.
Flashing back a bit, it does seem as if we've been here before. I'm thinking of Ariel Sharon walking up to the mosque site in the early days of his government and vowing that everything would change. And, of course, what happened was the Second Palestinian Intifada. Now, again, you've got a conservative government trying to stake out what seems to be a very hard line. Where do you think this could lead?
Well, there is certainly a risk of an explosion. I think that it's fair to think of Jerusalem as a powder keg in many ways, and I do think there's no question that when Ariel Sharon went onto the Haram al-Sharif, what the Jews call the Temple Mount, that along with hundreds of security men to protect him, that it was provocative, it was aimed at being provocative, and it did help spark the Second Intifada. I would like to say something here, which is that the Palestinian view of relative degrees of holiness and religious access is quite stunted. Whether or not it was appropriate for Ariel Sharon to go up with those hundreds of security agents, there is no doubt historically that that area that much of the world calls the Temple Mount held a Jewish temple. Two Jewish temples, first until the 6th century B.C., and then the second one was destroyed in 70 A.D., and the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound was built on top of that site. There is no dispute about that among archaeologists and scholars, but Palestinians deny it. They say there was never a temple here, and this is all part of an attempt by Zionists to throw us out. So, and I think that that kind of reaction, both all of the Palestinian leadership and as well as some of their scholars continue to say that, has been a very provocative thing in its own way for Jews who, whatever sharing arrangement should eventually come to pass in this city, the fact that people's own history is being denied is very problematic.
Well, thanks so much for explaining that today, Ethan.
My pleasure, Doug.
And thanks for listening to the Worldview Podcast. I'm Doug Shoresman. Have a good week.